And we find ourselves in a very lonely position. There is a great loneliness in leadership. But I repeat, we have to live with ourselves. A man has to live with his conscience. A man has to live up to his inner feelings. And I think just as a nation does. And we must face that situation. And I think that's all I'd like to say about it today. I know of few alternatives with which we can live, other than the alternative, I think, with which we are immediately faced.
Hello, this is Kurt Frankum with Leading LDS, and today I want to do a little bit of a candid approach to this podcast. And what I've done in the past is I've shared past posts I've put on Leading LDS prior to the podcast. And so I just want to highlight some of the past posts we've done, some of the more popular posts on Leading LDS, and do so through the podcast. The one I want to focus on today is how to improve home teaching by 20%. This is a post that I did, I guess, more than 4 years ago. November 3rd, 2010 is when I put this together. At that time, I was serving as a high priest group leader and started to try some different strategies with home teaching. And I found that they were beginning to work. And it really came down to one thing, and that was PPIs, personal priesthood interviews. And I just wanted to kind of give my perspective on how I use them and the priority I put them in my week-to-week tasks and really how it changed the leader I was and the perception of the leader that I was as well. So I won't read this blog word for word like I've done another blog, another podcast. I'm beginning to wonder if that's maybe boring. And so I'm going to maybe just go through this and discuss different points and why I hit on these points, how you can apply them, and why it should be the focus of what you're doing as a leader, whether you're an elders quorum president, a high priest group leader, or a bishop. And you can train and apply these things to your leaders to increase your home teaching. The more I study and learn about home teaching, the more I'm realizing many leaders approach it from a false premise. And I say that because in the handbook, as you read about home teaching and its purposes, we've misconstrued a lot of that. And now it's become a very going through the motions type of program for those that are trying to do it. And because of that, it just is drained of all purpose in it. And it truly is the why or the purpose in home teaching that motivates individuals in a quorum to do it. So some leaders out there may have kind of come to the conclusion that 100% home teaching is simply not possible in your quorum. And there's maybe a sense of giving up on it, or you're just not worried about it. It's just you've hit your head on the wall so much about it that you're done and you've just got to move on. And, you know, I don't blame a lot of leaders that are there. There's a lot to say as far as how we've misconstrued it, and I'll probably speak to that in other podcasts and other posts on Leading LDS. But the reality is many home teachers, or I'm sorry, many elders quorum presidents and quorum leaders, relief society presidents, especially ones that are recently put into that calling, are out there wondering, how do I do this? How do I improve home teaching or visiting teaching? And they just default to the same old methods that others have tried and failed at, and then they wonder what else is there to do. Basically, the wrong way to motivate individuals to home or visit teach is through that lesson of all lessons approach, where you see the problem, you see that people are falling short in their calling to be a priesthood home teacher, to follow up on those families, make sure they have everything they need, and you see it as a duty, and it's your job as a leader to stand in front of your quorum and pound the pulpit and say, you must do your home teaching or else. you're losing blessings, your people are suffering, yada, yada, yada. On and on, you can go on to excuses of why this home teaching needs to be done. I've seen it done time and time again, in particular back when I was a freshman in college. I was straight out of high school. I was in a new elders quorum. Obviously, I was a new elder. And I had an elders quorum president get up, and he gave the biggest guilt trip lesson that, man, there it killed the spirit. Nobody was motivated at all because it was all focused on guilt. And everybody was staring at the carpet. Nobody was more energized to get out there and visit these families because it was simply approached from a guilt trip duty standpoint. And I would say one rule that I have as I've served as a quorum leader is I never, ever, ever discuss home teaching or visiting teaching in a group setting or during the quorum meeting on Sunday, because it's not a problem that can be solved on a group level. It must be done on an individual basis. And I've been in the room when other elders quorum presidents have tried to solve the problem on a group level, and I am one of the individuals that's actually doing my home teaching. It's a buzzkill for those individuals as well. It doesn't motivate them to magnify their position as a home teacher anymore, even if they are visiting on a monthly basis. I put a quote in this post from Sir Francis Bacon, and it says, "If we are to achieve results never before accomplished, we must expect to employ methods never before attempted. At all costs, avoid the guilt trip lesson. Don't even discuss home or visiting teaching in your quorum meeting. It should be done on an individual basis." And that is done through monthly PPIs, or personal priesthood interviews, or personal progress interviews, whatever you want to call it. And this is an opportunity for you to sit down one-on-one with an individual, connect with them spiritually, and say, what's going on? How can we improve this? And connecting personally, by doing this, it creates accountability that you will never create in a group approach to it in your quorum meeting. If I was an elders quorum president, I would spend the majority of my time doing one thing, and that is personal priesthood interviews. And some people may look at that and say, oh man, I've got like 70, 80, maybe over 100, even though the quorum should only have 96. 70, 80 people in your quorum, how do I get to all of them? I can't do it. And they try, and they even split it up amongst their counselors and try to approach it that way. And they fail. They don't have time to get everybody personal priesthood interviews, so they just avoid it. I would challenge you to rethink that thought. There is time, even if you have a ton of people in your group or quorum, there is time to meet with each individual on a monthly basis. And that's the key. You've got to do this monthly. I'd also suggest, and this is up to you as a leader of the Elders Quorum or Relief Society, I would suggest you don't delegate this at all, not even to your counselors. A lot of Elders Quorum or High Priest Group leaders will see the vast numbers they have to get through, and so they'll chop it up into thirds and divvy out that responsibility to the counselors. I promise you it's going to be more powerful if they see the same person every month, and that same person is their priesthood, is the president of their group or quorum, or the high priest group leader. Now, by doing that, again, it creates that accountability. And this is possible. It can be, let's say you're busy Monday through Friday with work, and you have Saturday, kind of tough with family stuff, and Sunday, which is also full of meetings. You took a Saturday morning, I'm just throwing this out as an example, and started at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, I don't know. Maybe you can do this in the afternoon on Saturday as well. And for a couple hours, between you and your secretary, you line up 15-minute increments for these appointments. I guarantee you, whether you get them all done in 1 week every month or you do that every week, you can get through those in a month's time. Every individual in your quorum, absolutely. Your consistency will hold them accountable, because they know as they talk with you that 1 month that they're going to have to see you the next month. And as you ask questions of how's this family and that family, and if month after month they come back to you and say, didn't get to it. Let's say they do come with you that excuse. I just didn't get to it. It's been 3 months. We've met 3 months in a row. Then you have the opportunity to understand that individual, what they're going through, because I guarantee you it's not because they're lazy. More than likely, they've just got a full schedule. And even if they do prioritize home teaching, there's just no room for it. And so that gives you an opportunity as a leader to counsel with them, to teach them methods that they can use to find time to home teach, and to do so with purpose. Purpose in showing love to that family. And it gets rid of all this checkbox home teaching where we're just going through the motions and getting it done for the month. And then you see in the next month, and then the next month, and the next month. And over time, I guarantee you it will increase your home teaching more than 20%. Absolutely. I encourage you to try it. Maybe try it for 3 months and say to your counselors, as the Elders Quorum President, Relief Society President, you can say to your counselors, I'm doing nothing else but PPIs. That's all I'm doing. And sit down with your secretary and figure out, how are we going to do this? Is it going to be Saturday morning? Is it going to be Sunday after church? How can I do this without neglecting my family? And that's important as well, to fit these PPIs into my schedule. Even if you stop doing visits yourself, of official home teaching visits, take your name off the list and just use that time to do PPIs, it's gonna progress the kingdom in your ward more than you going to do those visits. But this is just one method. There's many others. I know a lot of home or Elders Quorum Presidents will spend a lot of time reformulating the list and who's assigned to who, figuring out how do I connect this companion to the other and who's the best companion for them. And they just spend so much time with their counselors thinking over, who's going to make a good companionship, what family should we put with that companionship, it goes on and on. But if you just spent more time sitting down on a one-on-one basis and having a PPI with them, it's life-changing. It'll change the quorum and their motivation. Now, as far as what that meeting would consist of, that's maybe a topic for another post, but I'm sending out a request. I know there are Elders Quorum Presidents, High Priest Group Leaders, Relief Society Presidents out there that are doing something different that they found that works. I encourage you to reach out to me and share those ideas with me. And whether I get you on this podcast and we discuss that or not, I don't know how that'll go down, or if you just want me to relay the information. But I want Leading LDS to be a platform where leaders can come and not only get ideas, but to share their own. Because you are doing incredible things out there that are working, but there's no way for you, a small branch in New Jersey, to communicate that information with a struggling ward in Southern California or in South Africa, or wherever it may be in the world. This is a ginormous church with genius leaders, local leaders, that have great ideas, and it's important we share those. Thanks again for listening to another episode of Leading LDS Podcast. If you do have some ideas to share, please contact me at kurt@leadinglds.com or simply on our contact page on Leading LDS. And also, for those who have not yet done so, please join our newsletter, where we share additional content on about a weekly basis. You can do so by going to leadinglds.com. At the very top of the page, there is a button you can pick to join the Leading LDS newsletter. Until next time, be a leader, not a calling.